Bevsy is standing by, the gadget detective. You can find him on social media, and very generous with his time, because if you contact him on that, he will help you out with a techie problem if you have one. Bevsy, hello, afternoon.
Hi.
Nice to talk to you. Now, we've got, Marilyn we're going to go to first off. Who needs your help, Bevsy? And I want to call you Dr. Bevsy. I don't know why, but we could do that.
Right, it's probably the white coat that does it.
But yeah, but that's a bit
take
white.
It off the next time.
Marilyn, hello.
Hello there.
Hello. Now, it's something to do with a phone that you want some help with, a mobile.
That's right, yes. I've been diagnosed as sight impaired. So the phone that I have has very small icons on a touch screen, which makes it a bit difficult for me. What I'm looking for is something very simple, that I can just send texts or make calls. I don't want the one that sings and dances. I don't want to play games or access the internet. As I say, I just something simple.
You want a basic phone, right? I understand. I mean, excuse me. Marilyn, can I just ask one thing? What is the phone that you've got at the moment? You said it's a touchscreen phone. Is it...
It's a Nokia Android one.
Right. So I would just say this to you before advising you on what else you can buy. Smartphones, be they Android-based or Apple smartphones, have got the ability, they've got accessibility options built in, which means, in this case, for people whose eyesight is impaired, and that can be anything from a little impaired to completely blind, there are options that can be switched on that phone, where the phone will speak you through what you're doing, so you don't have to be dependent upon squinting at small icons on a screen. And that might be something that we can look at, if you know, because you might find that you could have the advantages of having a smartphone, i.e. something that could read to you, you know, it could read audiobooks to you if you wanted it to, it could read messages that are sent to you with its voice, so that it takes a text and turns it into speech that you can hear, and it takes your speech and turns it into text. So let's say you needed to send a message, you know, you could speak it into the phone and it could be sent as a text or an email. So if you're interested in that, our colleagues at the BBC could put us in touch off air, and I'd be happy to deal with that. If, however, you think, you know, smartphones really aren't for me, I want to go really basic with it, then the brand that I would recommend to you, there's one brand that specialises in phones for people who have sight impairment or sometimes who just aren't very techy and very easy to use phones. That brand is called Doro. That's D-O-R-O. They do a wide range of phones from the simplest phone that they have is literally, it doesn't even have a 1-9 keypad on it. It just has four big buttons marked A, B, C, and D. And you can write the name of the person against each of the four, or even stick a picture of it on the phone. And then it will only dial those four. But that's, as you know, it goes that simple. Or you can have one that will make phone calls, but nothing else, but with big buttons on it and a nice big screen. Or you can go up in the functionality through the range. So I'd recommend them because that's their whole specialization. But I would not discount going the opposite way and saying your smartphone, use the accessibility options, and I could maybe help you, try and set those up off air, as it were, and see how you got on with those. Because you might find in the end it's a better solution. Maybe it's not what you were thinking of when you were thinking big buttons, but the ability to navigate a device and use it using your ears and your voice might be exactly what you want.
Yes, I mean, I do have a speech option on the one I've got, but I don't find it's very... it doesn't seem to listen very hard.
Sometimes it's stuff you need to sort of be shown it as well, Bevsy, and really talk through it, and it's a learning process, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I would just say as a general comment, although both Android and Apple phones have accessibility options, I personally have found the Apple ones better, and the support from Apple, because they charge a bit more for the handsets, but the support you can get, not just in store but on the phone, they will literally sit with you for an hour and talk you through it if that's what it takes. You know, and they can even reach into your phone from there, which I don't normally recommend, but I trust Apple on this, and they can actually set it up for you remotely as well. But iPhones are not cheap, as we all know. So,
expensive times.
You can Yeah, but the Doro phones, I would normally give you another brand, but I actually, they are the ones that really specialize in that field. There are others that do sort of one or two big button phones, but their whole raison d'être is, you know, for people who've got some sort of difficulty and therefore want a more simple, easy to use, tactile phone.
Marilyn, thank you in Eastbourne, and we'll make sure that we've. If you do want to speak to Fevzi, we can put you in touch. And if you want to get in touch, 81333, text us, start your message with the word radio, drop me an email, canon@bbc.co.uk. Fevzi, you've got some gadgets that we need to talk about, including the world's smallest mini desktop with apparently powerful, discrete graphics, which sounds a bit intriguing. Anyway, what are we talking about?
Okay, so this is a brand that many people won't know, but I've been quite impressed with in recent months, called Minis Forum. Minis as in plural of the small car, and forum as in a gathering of people. So all one word, Minis Forum. The model is called the Elite Mini H31G. Now this is a Windows PC, but it's teeny tiny. The volume of it, or to give you an idea, it's 6 inches wide, 6 inches deep, and about just under 2.5 inches tall. Now, there are other computers that have a similar size to that, but what's unique about this one is the graphics. So most of the computers that are that size have only the graphics that are built into the processor. Excuse me. Pardon me. I'm so sorry. I should get a cough button, I think.
There's a gadget for it, probably, somewhere.
I just have one. I can't reach it. What I need is a stick. I need to go a bit low-tech with this. So normally you get the integrated graphics, which are fine for, you know, running Microsoft Word or something, but not great when you want to do anything graphically challenging like play games and so forth. So this one, the H31G, the G stands for graphics, is, although it's small and has all the benefits, it's so small you can actually bolt it onto the back of your monitor. It's got what's called a VESA mount. It's a standard mount that you can screw onto the back of most monitors, and it literally disappear off your desktop. Your monitor becomes an all-in-one computer, right? But with this one, it's got a graphics chip in it called an NVIDIA GTX 1050 Ti. Now, a while back, that was a top-end graphics card that would, the card itself that would fit into a big computer was bigger than this computer itself. They've sort of shrunk it down and included it in this thing that, you know, it's about 25th of the size of a computer that would normally take a card like that. Quite a remarkable achievement. 1.4 litre body, you know, so imagine 1.4 litres of milk. That's just how small this thing is.
It's amazing. Come on, give us the money. I bet you're expensive, is it?
Right. Well, the nice thing about it is, unlike, say, if you go and buy a Mac Mini or something like that, where, you know, you can't configure it in the way that you want, and you certainly can't add memory to it later or upgrade the RAM. This one, you can have a wide range. So a typical configuration comes up as £569. That includes a good i5 processor, 16 gigabytes of RAM, and a half a terabyte SSD. Despite its size, it's very upgradable. You can upgrade the RAM memory, and you can put up to 3 solid-state storage devices in there. So two tiny ones that are about the size of a stick of chewing gum and a 2.5-inch one. It's quite incredible that something of that size is upgradable in this way. For those reasons, I've given it 4.5 stars out of 5, and nothing ever gets 5.
Wow. Okay. You've got a watch, a smart watch, which is incredibly well priced because you've sent me the details of it. Tell us more.
Yeah. So this is a smart watch. The brand is Amazfit, or Amazfit, depending on how you want to say it, AMAZFIT. And the model is the GTR2E. Not to be confused with the GTR2, which is a more expensive and slightly more functional watch, but this one is already very functional. It's a smart watch that does 24-hour heart rate monitoring. It gives you a decent battery life. Typical use, they say, 24 days without a charge. I get near a sort of 10 or 12, but I'm not a typical user. It's also got sleep quality monitoring built into it, and a pulse oximeter as well. You know, those little things that you sometimes have, like, look like a little bulldog clip that go on your finger and measure the percentage of oxygen in your blood. Well, this can do that as well. It can say, you know, have you got 98% oxygen in your blood, whatever. Now, why would you want to do that? Well, you know, in the past, it was climbers and people who were worried about, you know,
well, COVID. A lot of people have bought that when they've been ill with COVID, haven't they?
Exactly, because some people who have got COVID-19 don't necessarily have other symptoms, other than sometimes the only symptom that people get is that their oxygen saturation level starts to drop. And having it on a wristwatch is really handy, because, you know, we don't want to be sort of paranoid about these things, but having it there and just checking it from time to time is a reassurance, because, you know, you might be feeling well, but then you might find that those oxygen levels are dipping. It also has something which I love, which is a stress level measurement device. So it will give you an overall indication of how stressed you think it thinks you are. Now, I have to say that having my watch tell me that I'm stressed will probably stress me. But having said
never sound stressed. You sound always so calm, always calm.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
It's an act, well, okay.
Yeah, it is. but this is quite remarkable. I mean, I should have perhaps told you one of the best features of this. This is £119, £119, which is a fraction of the cost of other watches with similar features. And, you know, an Apple Watch would be treble. I'm not saying it's as good as an Apple Watch, but an Apple Watch isn't three times better either. So it's got an AMOLED screen, which means it's a bright colour, crisp display, just under an inch and a half across. It does just a bunch of remarkable things, and it's also waterproof down to 5 atmospheres. So you could go diving with this watch, pretty much. Just a great watch, and I think what it tells us is what's really achievable at low prices. I mean, the manufacturer of these Amazfit watches, actually, you might not know the brand, but they make, I won't mention the brands, but they make watches for quite well-known companies under those companies' own name, you know, and now they're striking out on their own. So what you're getting is the experience and the economies of scale that they have, because they make all these watches for other people. But because the brand isn't, you know, an upper echelon brand yet, the price reflects that. So I actually think it's a bargain on that basis, 4 stars out of 5.
Amazing. £119. And lastly, a quick word about Facebook and Instagram are threatening to charge us unless you give them data. But this is really for people who've got Apple operating systems.
Well, yeah. So the story is this. Apple is making a virtue out of respecting our privacy. So Apple makes money out of charging us a lot of money for its watches and phones and tablets. But it then doesn't turn you into a product where they try and scrape as much data off you as they can and monetize that data, right? They don't, that's not their business model. Their business model is they sell these things and they make their profit on that, and then they respect their customers. In that vein, what they've done is they've updated their operating system, what's called iOS, to version 14.5, or as of today, 14.5.1. And one of the big features in that is that there is the option to for you to stop yourself being tracked. So people maybe don't realize, but I don't know if you ever noticed, but maybe you go onto, let's say, Amazon and you look at a bicycle, and then you go onto a completely unrelated website and you see an advert for the bicycle you were just looking at on this website that's seemingly unrelated. And how do they know? The reason they know is they're tracking you. And Facebook and others of their ilk are masters at tracking, and most people don't really know it's happening, and if they did, they would say no. Now, that's exactly what Apple are doing. Apple are saying, "You could, this app is trying to track you." Yeah, I mean, they can still track you across all the apps that they own, so, you know, Instagram and Facebook and what have you, and WhatsApp, of course. But now they're having to ask for permission, right? Now, Facebook have taken this as an existential threat because they made $69 billion last year out of advertising. And the way that they make their money out of advertising is, you know, that they form a very accurate picture of who we are, what we're interested in. Everything about us is known, which is very valuable to advertisers, you know, because they can hone in on us. But they can also share the data with data brokers or Cambridge Analytica or anyone else that they choose to, right? So they've got their knickers in a twist, to use a technical term, because Apple have done this. And Facebook were always saying, that they will always be free, like they were presenting themselves as this sort of great kind utility in the sky. And now they've started saying, oh, well, you know, we might have to start charging if people refuse to be tracked, which is...
Must be interesting with you, because all of the stuff and the searches you must do for your, you know, looking at different gadgets, they must be throwing adverts at you left, right and centre.
No, they know jack about me. I make sure they think I'm a middle-aged woman who's living in Poland. Yeah, it's kind of fun. You can actually throw them off the trail somewhat, and they think there's several of me as well, which might not be wrong. It's a problem. And by the way, you know, Facebook aren't the only ones. I mean, Google are also masters at this. If you don't want, by the way, every search that you do to be tracked and recorded for all time, consider another search engine. There's a very, very good one called DuckDuckGo. I know it's a strange name. It's about 80 to 90% as good as Google. So there are occasions when I always go to DuckDuckGo first, and then if I can't get it, I might consider another search engine. But DuckDuckGo, never log your searches. Oh, yeah, and that's a benefit. And you know, it used to be that no one could get close to Google in terms of search quality, but they have got close. And I think that's you know, one tip that I'd share with people. But yeah, it's just incredible that this mega $69 billion profit company has resorted to implicitly threatening people that if they have the temerity to say that they don't want to be tracked, that God forbid they may need to charge for their services. I say to Facebook, bring it on. I wish you would charge for your services and stop tracking us. I'd happily pay to use Facebook if it meant that I wasn't, because it's not free. It's not free. You're paying with your data. Yeah, your data is worth something. It's yours. They want it. That's why they've built a business seemingly giving away baubles. But the reality is that those baubles are worth $69 billion a year.
Amazing, isn't it? Pepsi, we've run out of time, but thank you. If people want to contact you, they can do @GadgetDetective on Twitter. And if you've got a question, alternative, you can actually find out more on the website as well, gadgetdetective.com. Pepsi, we'll catch up with you again soon.